the church. Do I have a good picture there? The church. How important is the church? Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. And he gave him his head over all things to the church, which is what? His what? His body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Is that pretty important? Wouldn't you say? Religion. I shared this with you last time I stood here. Five times in Scripture, all negative except for one verse. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You can see maybe how the word religion has grated on my nerves for several years. Church. It's listed 112 times in Scripture, and none are negative except for warnings like Revelation 3:14 through 15. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. Would you say that sometimes churches need some things? They need to grow. Maybe the churches have some problems. But it's interesting, if you're negative toward church, the Bible isn't. The Bible might be negative against religion, but it isn't negative against church. I kind of enjoyed finding that out. And there is, of course, a church called by another name in Revelation 17:4. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of what? Abominations and of unclean things of her immorality. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. Then I saw her, I wondered greatly. In the Old Testament, Jesus had a woman. God, in the Old Testament, had a woman that he adorned with beautiful clothes. In the Revelation, though, the woman has got some problems, wouldn't you say? But there's another woman in Revelation 2, called by the same name, Revelation 12:1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12:4, and his tail swept away a third of the stars and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Revelation 12:17. So the dragon was what? Enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. Who what? Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. There's two women in the book of Revelation, both of them represent a church, one true and one that isn't true, one false church. Being led by who? The true church, 1 Corinthians 1:18. He is also the what? The head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He's the head of what? The church. Okay. Did you come here today to get something? Did you come here to get something? Many people come to church to get something. Or did you come here to give something? James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is to what? In their distress and keep oneself what? Unstained from the world? Did you come here today to give something? Have you come here today to be led by Christ? Mark 8:34. And he summoned the crowd of his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Have you come here today to deny yourself? Have you thought that? Or are you just doing your duty? Coming to church, being where you're supposed to be, because it's better to be here than somewhere else. Things I've heard as a pastor, I heard a lot of this. No one greeted me at the door. This is not a very friendly church. The music doesn't suit me. We should have better music. Music that I enjoy. They expect me to do everything. They just keep coming at me. I'm done. They're too conservative for me. They're too liberal for my taste. They offended me. You heard anything like that ever? This is what I don't hear. I greeted everyone I saw in church today. I love this place. Because I didn't come here to take, I came here to what? I came here to give. This is such a friendly church. I greeted 15 people. Oh. I don't like the music, but I'm not here for music. I didn't come here for music. What did I come here for? For what? For the Word of God? To praise Him? I didn't come here for the music. I didn't enjoy all the music today. But I know someone did. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that they want me to do most everything? They love me. I love them and know when to say, no, I can't handle that. They love me. They care about me. They think about me all the time. I got to say no a lot. But we love each other. They're conservative, too conservative for me, or they're too liberal for my tastes. But the church can use all kinds if we let God lead. You ever hear that? I've sat in board meetings where liberals and conservatives shot back and forth at each other. And you know what? If you close your ears, they had the same look on their face. They offended me deeply. Lord, help me to what? Forgive. And give me the strength to show them the love you took to the cross. Well, that's one you almost never hear. Acts 24:16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void to what? Void to offense before God and man. We get offended so easily, and it's so hard to forgive. And this is the church. Do you know what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist in today's world? Do you? I have asked from week to week that after I preach or when I'm here, and even when I'm not here, maybe sometimes that we meet down in front afterwards and ask God to open doors. Because I think sometimes we try to lead God in the things we do in the church. We have an idea, we do it, but God isn't always leading it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it fails. But why are we here? Are we here to be led by Him? I've been praying that God would open doors for me. Last week, Gina beginning of the week, well, actually, for the last month, I've been walking around campuses. Hi, Mr. Labarde. Hi, Mr. Labarde. So every time she sees me, she comes up and gives me a hug. And I said, boy, you're here at school early. You ought to come to my room and visit me because I'm here early. She said, okay. So I get to the school at 5:30, get up at 4 in the morning, drive for an hour. Isn't that great? Done that for 6 years now, and get there at 5:30, and about 6:30, I knock on my door, classroom. I open it, and there's Gina. This whole week, we've been talking. I learned some things about her. She has a great attitude. You can see from the picture on her Facebook page, she asked me last night to be a friend of hers on Facebook. That's Gina's picture right there. That's her. She had a boyfriend 2 years ago. He was a gang member. He got arrested. She was looking forward to seeing him. He got out. He was shot and killed. Last year, her brother was in a gang. He was shot and killed. As I listened to her speak, I wonder, is God opening a door here? I'm not trying to lead her to religion. Should I be? Should I be trying to make a good Seventh-day Adventist out of her? Or should I be letting God open doors and walk through them as he opens them? We have a great time. Sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I got so much work to do. But I listen and I talk to her. Does sometimes God want us to do things that interferes with our daily program? So I have a question. Sorry. Should it make a difference that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist talking to her? I'm going to ask you again. I'd like a verbal response. Should it make a difference that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist talking to this young girl? I mean, if I was a Baptist or a Methodist or an atheist, should it make a difference? I'll tell you what I think. I think Seventh-day Adventists have a special mission on this earth. I'll tell you quickly. I believe that Seventh-day Adventists' mission on this earth is to set aside everything and continue to be letting go and be led by him. I believe that Seventh-day Adventists ought to share that with others as they let go. Praise the Lord, this young girl has kept herself pure to this point. She's a sophomore. And maybe I can help her and encourage her not to get involved in ways that are going to destroy her life. Maybe I can be that influence. I can be that father influence. She shared with me this last week, both of her parents have had affairs, and they're still together. You know how many people in the world are struggling with things? Should it make a difference that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist? Now, I got to share something with you. I put this in my Bible. It's right here in the back. I wrote the whole thing out because I don't think a lot of us know these things. We've been told, Ellen White has written to us. This is the word which for the last 50 years I have heard from the angelic hosts. What? Press together. Press together. Let us try to do this. When in the Spirit of Jesus, we try to press together, putting ourselves out of sight, we shall find that the Holy Spirit will what? We shall find the Holy Spirit shall come in. The blessing of God will rest upon us. General Conference Bulletin, Volume 4. Press together. We need to press together. We need to set aside our petty little differences and say, we've got a mission here. Let's work toward it. Let's love each other. Let's forgive each other. Let's care for each other. And also, we've been warned. I wrote this in my Bible, and it's a long passage. Many people don't realize that we've been given this warning. The enemies of souls have sought to bring in a supposition that a great reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists. And this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of what? Reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would the result? The principles of truth that God had in his wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. A new organization would be established. Now get this next part. Books of a new order would be written. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do what? Wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded as also the God who created it. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed would place their dependence on what? Place their dependence on what? Human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and the storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. Have we been warned? Did you know about this warning? Who has authority to begin such a movement? We have our Bibles. We have our experience attested to by the marvelous workings of the Holy Spirit. We have a truth that admits of no compromise. Shall we not repudiate everything that is not in harmony with this truth? I hesitated and delayed about the sending out of that which the Holy Spirit impelled me to write. I did not want to be compelled to present the misleading influence of these sophistries. But in the providence of God, the errors that have been coming in must be met. Are we ready to meet these errors? Have we pressed together? Are we acting as one? Or are we just attending week to week? Interesting thoughts. It was by the confession and the forsaking of sins, by the earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay, look at that. What prepared the disciples on Pentecost? Confession, earnest prayer, forsaking of sin, concentrating of themselves to God. The same work, only in a greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work. It is he will finish his work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. Now, get this. There must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former reign. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Did you get that? Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. Latter rain, she says, Ellen White says, could be pouring all around us, and we don't see it. Do we need to press together? Do we need to become one in him? Do we need to be led by him rather than just attending? I like to hear yes to that. My brother, you are represented to me as in danger of standing apart from our people, feeling that you are a complete whole. But if you bind yourself up with those of your own mind, apart from the church, which is Christ's body, you will make a confederacy that will be broken to pieces, for no union can stand but that which God has framed. Do you see that? His servants are to be what? As Christ is one with the Father, their powers, illuminated, inspired, and sanctified, must be united to make a complete whole. Those who love God and keep His commandments are not to draw apart. They're to press together. They're to what? Press together. I'm not speaking to you as much as I'm speaking to myself today. I know that without Him, my brain is twisted in sin. Is yours? Have you recognized that? I see so much selfishness in me that sometimes I could just fall down and say, I can't do this. You have to fill me because I'm nothing without you. Folks, we need to press together. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do to make that happen, but I know if each of us are letting Him lead our lives, it's going to happen, and we're going to see power on this earth like we've never seen before. We're going to see a latter rain, outpouring of the Holy Spirit that makes the first outpouring less. It was great, but God has greater things in store for us. Are we ready? Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, please forgive us. We are not the ones unless we give it to you.